Pacific City Joint Water Sanitary Authority Budget Committee meeting will come to order. It is now 5:01 on May 16, 2023. We're meeting at the Kiawanda Community Center in person. We'll start with a roll call. Kathy Strotska.
Here.
Ann Price.
Here.
Sean Carlson. Absent. Tom Donahue, here. Cameron Gogis.
Here.
Scott Culp.
Here.
Bill Height.
Here.
Karen Matthews.
Here.
Gary Link. Absent. Luann Anderson.
Here.
Okay. First order of business is the election of committee officers for chair and secretary. The acting chair will accept nominations for the position of chair. And
I'd like to nominate Scott Culp as chair of the budget committee.
Second that.
So we have a motion to our nomination for Scott and a second by Bill Height. Are there any other nominations for chair? If not, all those in favor of Scott being chair of the committee, signify by stating aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, signify by saying nay. Hearing none, unanimous decision. I turn the meeting over to our new chair, Scott Culp.
Again.
He's not new, by the way.
What do you do for non-part? I'm old. We need a secretary. Nominations are open for secretary.
I'd like to nominate Bill Height as secretary of the budget committee.
I'll second.
This way you don't have to write new minutes.
There you go.
Are there any other nominations for secretary? All those in favor of Bill Height for secretary?
Aye.
Congratulations, Bill.
Forget the names.
Don't try to sit on my lap.
We've got to get to the names.
You guys said you didn't know each other, right?
I didn't know about
that.
Only for
40
years.
Maybe Tom gets back here. Well, we have a notebook in front of us and kind of follow that along. And the first thing we need to have is a message from the budget officer.
Thanks, Scott. We've got a fair amount of information here. I'll summarize it the best I can. The Pacific City Joint Water Sanitary Authority budget is comprised of six separate funds and is proposed in a format that facilitates transparency and sound financial management. It is our intention to submit and manage the budget in the most open and straightforward manner possible, which will allow consistent and careful management of all resources. The preparation of a budget begins with input from staff members and the board. This input, coupled with a projection of authority reserves, revenues, and expenditures, provides a sound basis for effective financial management. The five-member budget committee and the PCJWSA board of directors meet publicly to review the budget documents as proposed by the budget officer. The budget committee reviews the proposed budget and either revises the proposed figures or approves them as presented. Once the budget committee approves the budget, it is then published in summary form in a local newspaper, general circulation. Before June 30th, a public hearing will be held to obtain additional ratepayer comments. Publication of a budget summary in the newspaper is required. At the advertised public hearing, the board will hear public testimony regarding the proposed budget previously approved by the budget committee. The board of directors will formally adopt the budget by resolution in late June. Appropriations lapse at the end of each fiscal year. There are two methods by which Oregon budget law allows the authority's budget to be updated in the case of unforeseen or unexpected circumstances. The board may authorize supplemental appropriations during the year by adopting a supplemental budget. This procedure requires public hearing, newspaper publications, and approval by the board. The second alternative is to transfer budgeted amounts within a fund. These budget transfers must be adopted by a resolution of the board of directors. The PCJ, as previously indicated, operates in six separate funds. The Master Plan Fund, this fund was closed at the beginning of the 21-22 fiscal year, and the money was transferred to the O3 fund. We have the Bonded Debt Fund. This fund is used to service the debt on the May 2007 General Obligation Bond. During fiscal year 23-24, PCJWSA will levy $390,500 in property taxes. Fund 004 is the Sewer System Development Charge and Capital Improvement Charge Fund. This fund is used for financing sewer capital improvements and is not used for day-to-day operational expenses. The fund's main source of revenue are system development charges, which are sewer connection fees and capital improvement charges. This SDCs in this fund are adjusted on July 1st each year based on the Engineering News Record Construction Cost Index. This calculation method indicates that we should increase our SDC rates in this fund by 4.28% for the next fiscal year. The current budget authorized a capital improvement charge of $5 per user per month. We are proposing no increase to that for the fiscal year 23-24 budget. The next fund is the 005 fund, which is the Water System Development Charge and Capital Improvement Charge Fund on the water side. This calculation, as I mentioned before, using the Engineering News Record Construction Cost Index, indicates that this fund should also be increased by 4.28% for the next fiscal year. I will say that we have an SDC methodology and a rate structure that the board is scheduled to approve in a couple of months, and that will have an impact on our SDC rates as well. For the 005 fund, the current budget authorizes a capital improvement charge of $3 per user per month. We are proposing no increase in that for the fiscal year 23-24 budget. The last two funds are the sewer and water operations and maintenance funds. These funds are used to pay the day-to-day operating expenses at the authority. The funds expenses are paid for from these funds with monthly water and sewer fees. What I should say is these funds are funded by our water and sewer user fees. Operational rate increases for the monthly water and sewer user fees are proposed for fiscal year 23 and 24. 12.5% in the 104 fund and 22% in the 105 fund. PCJWSA has faced many financial challenges during the previous fiscal year, including inflation, supply chain issues, funding capital improvement projects, maintaining aging infrastructure, and COVID-19. Balancing these needs by managing our resources efficiently and passing increased operating costs to our customers is critical to our future financial well-being. PCJWSA continues to address these challenges with integrity, resourcefulness, and financial responsibility, which we believe is reflected in this fiscal year 2023-2024 budget. And that completes the budget officer message.
Thank you, John.
I've got a question. Minutes of the budget committee must be kept available to anyone of request. Do we put that on the website?
Yep.
So that is should also be included in this.
We can.
Yep. We can definitely do that.
And we don't publish. We also put it down at the library, right?
No, it's just on the web. It's regular minutes like our board meeting minutes.
Okay. So, John, in terms of dollar amounts to the average person, how much do these percentages equal?
If you look further in the packet, there's a rate sheet, but for a residential customer, it's going to raise your rate by $10.50-ish.
$10.58 a month.
Now, is that both water and sewer?
Combined.
So split five.
Mr. Chair, did you want to go through each one of the funds?
Yeah, we will. If there's any comments you have in general, take those now. And we've got the budget officer right where we want him. So.
Yes, you do.
Oreo cookie.
In the hot seat.
Are there any other questions, general questions you'd have? Otherwise, we'll just walk through the budget, fund by fund.
On this bonded debt fund, and maybe I don't understand how it even works, but isn't there an end to the debt, to the bond, and when is that?
2027.
Yes. Okay, so it was a 20-year bond. Okay.
Mr. Chair, I did have a comment. I wanted to compliment both the budget officer and the executive assistant for the 2023 project list and projected cost that was included with our budget papers this year, actually pointing out what our projects are, our planned purchases, and that with a place where we can reference that in as a line item. And I think that we haven't had that in the past.
That's right. That's
very helpful.
Yeah.
So it's going to eliminate a lot of questions, I think, for starters.
If we go through these funds, and that's kind of the batting cleanup on this whole thing. So we can hit those things when we get there. So right off, let's just start. Anybody else have any general comments or questions or anything you'd like to ask at this time? And we're moving right along. We'll go to the master plan 002 fund, which is history now, right? Natural into the 003 fund.
Right, because 2 is just 0.
It remains there in case we need it.
Yeah, we can keep it open in case we get a big project.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good idea.
So here we are on looking at the bonded debt fund. I had a question down here. What are short-lived assets?
So one of our requirements with our USDA loan for the wastewater treatment plant was to put $90,000 per year into a short-lived assets fund, and that money can be used to fix things specifically on the upgrade throughout the years. So like right now, we are buying UV bulbs consistently, and that comes out of that fund.
I think
we'll probably do fuses, and if somebody comes and fixes something on the computer or tweaks something, it gets paid out of that fund as well.
Well, we're budgeting zero for it?
Yeah, it's like zero. Oh,
well, I don't know why it's on the revenue side. It's on the expense side. Sorry, that's where I was going with it.
Yeah.
We had it on the revenue side for some reason, and it's been there for a very long time.
One question I have, and it appears on most of the funds, is interest earned.
We have exponential amount. We only keep a certain amount in the checking account. Uh-huh. All of the extra amount goes to an LGUIP fund, which is local government investment pool, and then that money gains interest.
Okay.
So what is that?
That's kind of nice, isn't it?
Where's that money going to earmark?
Very nice.
Well, as we get it, like if we're anticipating that we're going to get $20,000, that money is then eventually spent further on. If we make more than that, we can't spend it because it hasn't been budgeted.
But where are we looking at it going towards? I mean, what is it going to stay in?
It just has to stay in the fund.
That fund?
Yeah.
So it's got to be anything in that, whatever we have.
Right, it can be used for any of those expense line items.
It's just kind of like on a hold there.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like a savings
account. You need it, then you pull it out of there.
Yeah.
So it's good because we're in interest on it. So
exactly.
We're doing really good on interest right now.
Nice concept.
Well, and with interest, we should be doing a little better anyway, yeah. The way things have flip-flopped.
The interest rate's up to 3.75, so.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah,
doing
that's great.
Great.
Well,
that's where your expenses are with it.
Yeah.
Great on the interest.
You're going to be something
Okay.
I have just a really simple question. I'm looking here at the adopted 2023 for under expenses, $1.5 million. Okay.
Okay.
And then year to date at zero. Does that mean that's all? That's going to be expenses that are going to be transferred all at once.
Or we're not going to spend them at all. We just had to put them somewhere.
$1.5 million.
Yeah. When we started the wastewater treatment plant upgrade plan and started taking the wastewater treatment plant capital improvement charge, we did that early, and so we had some money built up, so that, and that money is eventually going to be used to pay for the loan, but right now it's just sitting there in case we need it.
And when will that look? That loan, is that 20?
No, this is a 50-year loan.
So that's not due until 42?
Long time from now.
Oh, I'm not worried.
Yeah. I'm not worried about it.
Any other comments on the bonding fund?
Yeah, I have one question. Unappropriated ending fund balance. $120,000.
That's just money that we've put aside. It's not put to any certain place, so we can spend it in an expense if something crazy comes up. It's an emergency situation.
Fund.
It's a contingency fund, yeah.
And what percentage is that of our revenues? So we have.
Pretty small. It's almost $3 million. Yeah. Oh, so we have
So when we get to here, this is where you're talking about changing the way the rates are. Can you kind of just explain that a little bit?
Sure. Well, typically, annually, we adjust our SDCs using an economic index. Mm-hmm. And that's how we adjust these funds to keep up with inflation and other types of things. This year is a little different in that about every 20 years we put together a water and a wastewater master plan, and part of those plans involve an SDC analysis, just to see, they look at, you know, all the projects that we have coming up and make a determination on if our SDCs are at an ideal level, not only to meet our needs going forward, but they actually factor it in into an improvement fund and a reimbursement fund. Mm-hmm. So, for example, there are some jobs that qualify for reimbursement under the guidelines for SDCs. There are some projects that qualify as an improvement. Mm-hmm. Some qualify as both, but rarely does any single project fully funded by SDCs. You know, it's usually 33% one, 33% the other, and then you have to come up with the other 33% right. yourself. But about every 20 years, a professional consultant does an SDC analysis to see, kind of to calibrate our SDCs. And this year is one of those years. So in order to adopt the SDC methodology and the rate schedule, the SDC rate schedule that the consultant recommends based on their analysis, that requires adoption of the board. And this happens to be one of those years where we're fresh off those master plans. Mm-hmm. We've got those analysis done. And now the board, after appropriate public notice,
right.
and it's 90-day notice. And unfortunately, our notice does not coincide with the fiscal year. So in a couple of months from now, the board will adopt that methodology, that SDC methodology, and that new rate structure. And that will become what our SDC rate structure is at that point forward. And beyond that, year to year, we just adjust it annually with by referring to economic indices.
Right. Where John references guidelines, those guidelines are actually Oregon revised statutes.
Yes.
Guided and appropriated, that's not the right word, by our Oregon revised statutes and administrative rules,
right.
Oregon administrative rules. So that's where those guidelines are coming from.
Well, then, I thought I had this figured out at first. I think I had it. But I'll just take a look at equipment for the expenses. We allocated or adopted $100,000, and of course, up to date, zero. I'm suspecting a lot of that has been flooded into the 104.
Nope. I haven't done anything to 104.
Then I didn't get it right,
did
I?
No. We had anticipations of using that $100,000, but with our beyond supply chain issues, but trying to have time to do all the research and
so
get all the quotes that we
need. Saved.
It is, yeah. We've saved $100,000 at this point.
So the system development charge is like adopted in 23 is 97.3, and that's the same thing that Spring proposed to budget this year. But when I go down the expenses, when I just take the three, the new service, the equipment, and the new construction, we went from 255 to 180, which is there, was it because of what you just explained?
I doubt it.
Sorry, I got to find those 255.
I got to find it, too.
Oh, 255 is a total of 5, 100, 150.
It's at the...
So when you go down here 20, to the... 20,
on the 004 fund.
It's a new service installation, the equipment, new construction.
Oh, got it.
Those three numbers, the 5, the 100, and then 50. And the other's 30, 50,
that's
and 100.
Capital outlay for system development charges.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, now I see it.
I just thought maybe those... The development charges seem like the revenue for these expenses. And since it stayed the same, I was surprised that the other went down.
Oh.
No, I'm not following.
I'm not either. That's why I looked at you.
Okay.
I was hoping you were.
So when you're when you're on new service installation, equipment, and new construction, those are the three you're looking at?
New service.
So 5,000, 100,000, 150,000. New service, equipment, and new construction. You look at the same figures over here, it's 30,000.
So I just took the total of those three, so I thought maybe some of the money moved
around. So the new service installation went up quite a bit. The equipment went down, and... I can't read that far away.
mostly because we're not anticipating to need to spend money in that area this year.
It's system development charges.
Yeah.
Okay. So
that's different than capital.
So the system development charge is not necessarily related.
No. The system development charges he's talking about is going to be our revenue that's up a little bit higher, which is 97.3.
I thought that would cover these expenses. So
before we get completely off, back to this, the change in the way that it's going to be, probably, I know it hasn't been approved and all, I get that. Is that going to significantly change the SDCs, or do you think it will be? I mean, if it changes some, whatever. But
well, it won't substantially change most of them, which means that our method of updating these year to year has
been pretty good.
Pretty good.
Okay.
It's not going to substantially change a lot of them. Some will be slightly more, some will be slightly less. The ones where we see the significant change are in our larger water service categories, meaning if anybody that needs a 3-inch water meter or bigger, those are where they really change. But it's really kind of not even worth talking about because we'll never have anybody connect a service line that
six-inch
big.
Six-inch.
You'd have to build an aquarium.
It's really too bad because some of those bigger ones, we were, according to our calibration, we weren't charging high enough, but since we never had an opportunity to charge them anyway, it doesn't really matter. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I just wanted to. Yeah. It's kind of be a wash.
It's not going to be a significant change. Okay. No.
Okay.
No. I think it's always interesting too. We have $100,000 in there for engineering.
Engineers
cost
a lot.
They cost. I know. They do.
It's just kind of. Engineering is quite a large expense.
One of our biggest expenses.
There's not a lot of the bigger projects we can do without engineering, and it is a significant part of our budget.
Although you haven't spent
and
much
it here. Sort of has to be done right.
Yeah.
Scott, for your own information, the board has been looking at our engineers for some time, but they've been with us a very long time.
Yes, they have.
And by and large, they've done a pretty good job, but we've had some instances where we were unhappy, so we actually entertained the thought of looking for a new company. But because this company has been with us so long, knows us intimately, and knows our system intimately, we decided not to because it would take actually several years to really get a new firm up to speed.
No.
So we're going in our future contracting, we're going to add, or we've discussed adding both incentives and penalties in any of our future contracts. But we decided to keep the same company because they do know us very, very well.
If I could just add a comment to Tom's explanation too, that one of the other things I think is that, at least was in my reasoning for supporting keeping Parametrics now, is our current authority manager and his background with working for engineering firms and working inside of them and now working with them so very, very effectively. I'm not anticipating that we'll have any of those kinds of issues come up, and if we do, we'll be right on top of it. So his experience is completely different than any authority manager I've ever worked with.
Great. Any other comments on?
Moving on.
Yeah, those pumps over there.
Are we on 005? No.
Yeah, we're moving right along. Yep.
So you take questions on 005?
Yeah, I've got one.
It's probably the same one Ann had.
Is that it?
It looks like it.
You go ahead.
The system chair. Development charge for $18,080.
Yeah. Same one I had.
Same one I had too.
I believe there was a decimal point
typo.
It needs one more zero. So yes, that does change things a little bit, and we will anticipate a higher revenue, obviously. And so I've made that correction, but that also puts us into needing to spend some more money on the expense side, which will probably go into new construction improvement and pay for Rupel.
Yes, and when you get into a project like Rupel, mm-hmm. I mean, what do we pay on engineering for that project?
About $150,000.
Is that right?
Is there a brief explanation on what that project is?
You mean in general, or
just in general? Rupel's a street.
Yeah. Well, Rupel is the water line on Rupel is undersized for the current level of development. It's undersized to produce fire flows, and even worse, it's a line that's failing. We have a disproportionate amount of water leaks that occur on Rupel Avenue, and that's a sign that the water line is getting old. It's starting to fail, And so we are replacing the water line. And it is the water line that goes the whole length of Ruppel, which is almost 1,700 feet. So we'll be replacing the existing 2-inch water line with a new 6-inch water line. We'll be adding some fire hydrants, which they've never had any fire hydrants on that street.
Is that right?
And yes, and we'll also be stubbing out water services while we're there.
Yeah.
It makes sense to stub out water services to Absolutely. All the remaining undeveloped lots.
Absolutely.
So that's the project in a nutshell.
Okay. John, I got a question for you. Would there have been any way that we could loop that line into where it comes in over at the bank?
Well, I think you'd have to. Let me think about that. You'd have to cross the airport to do that, wouldn't you?
Pretty long, big side there.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to find a way to come across the runway at the airport. I believe.
No, there's,
could you imagine there's a leak under the airport?
There's an area that you could walk.
I don't know if the FAA would appreciate that.
But I wanted to bring that up with you and stuff. It would also beneficial with a loop system instead of a dead end line system.
Yeah,
late in the game now.
Well, it's a little late in the game. I don't know who owns that property, and you know it would take easements and a lot of different things. I like loop lines just in terms of reliability. You're either going to get water one direction or the other, but a lot of that concern for me has to do with fire flows and stuff. And I am convinced that with the size of the water line we're putting in, we'll have a fairly self-sufficient stretch of pipeline there. So that's one reason we went that right way. Also, the project's going to be plenty expensive enough. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of material. We can always, if we find future need for it, if looping it was available now, it'll likely be available later, and we can maybe tie that back into South Broughton or some other location. But I'm confident that for the first time we've got plenty of flow there, not only for the level of development and the residential customers, but also for firefighting, fire flow, which is, I think, very important as well.
When do you expect that to be done?
Well, it's scheduled to be done by September 1.
Okay.
So yes. We're planning to break ground. We're in the bid process now, receiving bids. In fact, we just advertised for the job a week ago.
Okay.
But it's supposed to take 5 to 6 weeks to complete.
Okay. That's not
just, too bad.
No, just curious. It should be done. Let's just say by the end of the year.
I sure hope by the end of the year.
Yeah.
It needs to be done before the wet weather comes. That's in a floodway.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
And the fact you're stubbing things out, it just makes so much sense. I mean, particularly after you pave a road, and the next thing you know, you're taking.
Oh, I know. Mm-hmm. I know.
And that's an old part of town too.
Yeah.
Yeah, to stub those out definitely makes sense.
So I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
So on the interest earned line, in 23 you adopted 7,000, and then you've got year to date 56,000.
That's how much we've made thus far, yeah.
Pardon?
That's how much we've made thus far.
This year.
Well, that's really good. But
it is good.
So then for the new budget, you've got projected 7,000 again.
Well, I'm expecting when we start paying for Ruppel out of this, we're not going to have very much money to earn interest on.
Oh, okay. Got that.
Unfortunately.
I had a question also on tap fees under the revenue side. What are those?
Tap fee is just, it's separate from the system development charge. And right now our tap fee is $850.
For who? For what?
For new development.
Oh.
New hookups?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's for us to actually tap the line and connect their water service.
So that's separate from them.
That is. Yeah. That's a separate fee.
So you expect 10?
Yep.
Okay. Got you. Okay. Thank you.
have another question.
I'm ready.
Who's ready? Under the revenues, between adopted and year-to-date, there seems to be a real wide difference, and I can't find them in some of the items above. I could point out some, you know, like the interest earned is not what it was.
That's all in that one number, the working capital.
Yeah, it's probably this. Oh, yeah.
Well, the year-to-date is through April.
Are you looking at the revenue?
Yes, I am.
Totals in little letters or revenue totals in the big letters?
The big letters.
There's a difference in letters?
Yeah.
Should I?
One's in capitals.
I think I need crayons over here.
So the $1.9 million includes the working capital that's up at the top.
Oh, okay.
That's
there
the money
go.
That got that, rolled over right, basically from it. Last year.
Anything else on 05?
So, rolling stock needs new vehicles.
Yeah.
You're planning on buying two?
Yes, we've got an old service truck that we need to replace. The transmission's going out, and it's our workhorse. It's our big truck. It's the one that's got the hoist on it. It's the one that we tow our Vactor system with, and the transmission's going bad, and it's seen a lot of heavy use. It's time to get a new one of those. We'd also like to get either a smaller truck or even just a car, just for the miscellaneous errands and stuff we have to do. Each time I go to a job site, I usually hop in my own truck. Mm-hmm. Anytime you got to go to the bank or the post office, she hops in her own car. When we send people to school in the valley, they've either got to drive their own vehicles or take one of our service trucks. This is an all-purpose utility vehicle that will be used for all the miscellaneous stuff that we do. And it will allow us to not use our own vehicles for that purpose, which we really shouldn't be doing.
So when you use your own vehicle, are you getting mileage?
If you're like going to a short school and it's quite a distance.
That one does.
Yeah, we keep mileage.
Keep track of that.
Generally, you don't charge mileage for a trip to the post office.
If I go to the post office and I'm taking my own stuff, I'll go get our mail too.
Yeah.
Well, you really should pick up insurance and just drop in.
That's the thing, insurance liability is a big deal.
Yeah.
That's another reason why having a company car for those things.
Yeah.
Because you do run into that. I mean, if you crash into somebody, then the company is liable. Yeah.
It makes it complicated for sure.
Yeah.
So, John, are you going to take the box off that truck? The back end and the hoist and stuff?
Well,
reframe. The frame and truck.
The hoist, I think, needs to be replaced too. It's seen a lot of heavy use.
We've had a lot of hydraulic issues that we've had to fix over the years too.
In terms of the box, I can't answer that question. If we can reuse it, we will. It really depends on how well it fits on the chassis of whatever we decide to buy. Sometimes it's far cheaper to buy them already with the box on board than to pay to have one added later. I know the hoist needs to be replaced as well, so it's not really a factor. We'll look into the box a little bit more, but it just kind of depends.
Could you use it as a backup rig, the other vehicle, or you want to just totally get rid of it after you?
Well, I think we'll put it up for silent auction. I think it's time to move on beyond that vehicle. I believe that's an 2008 that has received heavy use.
How many miles does it have on it?
Don't know that off the top of my head.
I don't know. And sometimes in a service area like ours, mileage can be deceptive. You can get a lot of heavy use on a vehicle without driving it very far.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the mileage is for sure, but I'm I'm sure it's definitely six digits. Well, excuse me, five digits. Five digits.
Yeah, 15 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is 15 yeah. years old.
Any other questions? And away we go to 104, sewer operating working cap.
So, John, at the last board meeting, you talked about having a summer person working. Is that person reflected in this somewhere?
I believe we planned to use the OIT.
We had originally, depending on if that person was going to stay on after a temporary, but we also think maybe we put them into a utility worker position, so we would need to move, well, don't necessarily have to move funds, but it would probably come out of utility worker, which I believe is on the next board.
So you're still... you're still putting that idea together in terms of nuts and bolts.
Yeah, because they won't necessarily...
Because you don't have any money budgeted.
Right. They won't be doing the OIT job. So I don't think we should call them an OIT.
No, I just wondered where the money's coming from to pay
them.
Yeah. But it's in the total amount.
It is in the total.
Because it was originally conceived as being under the OIT line. So the amount of money they're thinking of is in here.
Okay. It's just not on the right line.
You can shift it from one line to the other without doing a supplemental.
Yeah, and we don't have a line item for seasonal temporary, but I do think utility worker was probably the closest.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it is reflected in the total in the OIT, I'm quite sure.
Yeah.
And have you decided how much you're going to pay them?
We're shooting for $16 an hour.
Because I've got people I'm talking to telling them, come and see you.
Yes. We looked at minimum wage. This is kind of a labor, a seasonal labor type position. We looked at minimum wage and then kind of already realizing that McDonald's is paying people $15 an hour, so... I felt like I had to ratchet it up a little bit more.
It's crazy.
Yeah. But that's what we're going to shoot for, and hopefully we generate some interest based on that.
Well, you're giving them some experience too.
Oh, we are.
Are you advertising at the school or anything?
Actually, I'm working with somebody at the school to do that. We haven't advertised yet. We're planning to begin that process this week. But I do have somebody at the school on the administration staff that is going to help me to get the word out.
Super.
Yeah.
I have a question. I probably didn't explain it to me before, but I forgot. The difference between an operator 3, 2, and 1?
It's mainly tenure and certification levels. There isn't a significant difference in job duties. We have these levels to reward people, I mean, primarily for tenure. And in this line of work, there's a possible total of 15 different certifications. And we try to encourage our staff to pursue those certifications, once they have enough time on the job to qualify for the various certification levels. And for us, it's really just tenure and the amount of certifications they have.
Because in the past, I don't think we had one of those classifications.
We didn't have an operator 2.
Yeah.
And I'm planning to promote somebody from an operator 1 to an operator 2, so we wanted to put some dollars in there.
Under John's leadership, the staff has really ramped up their interest in certifications, and he did some changing around of how that whole process is managed. And
they're
we've
being
had
compensated
a
for
number
that's
of
great.
People.
Yes. That's great.
Almost every month, it seems, there's somebody on the manager's report for the board meeting.
More and more professional group.
Yeah.
You know, and it's important.
It's rewarding for them. It's rewarding for us.
Oh, yeah. And I was actually going to say that. Yeah. Not only is it valuable for the staff, but it certainly is valuable for us and our image that we have qualified people on staff, and just our credibility, our public image having people with these certifications that are recognized statewide is good for us too. And so I think it's a win-win.
That's great.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So, John, how many operator threes do we have right now?
We only have one operator three.
And then operator twos?
We don't have any right now, but I'm planning to promote one person and we'll have one.
Operator ones?
Operator ones, we have one, two.
Two.
I think we have two. And then the rest
are... We currently have two OITs.
Yeah, and two OITs, operator and trainings, and an operations supervisor.
And you're short on staff.
Well, right now we're fully staffed, but I'm hopeful to justify the addition of one more full-time employee. I think I can justify it, and I think we need it to keep up with our workloads.
So what are we still have an assistant manager down as a line. I thought that the OPER supervisor was that. So are you still thinking about an assistant manager?
Well, not currently, and there is $0 budgeted for that. We're not currently thinking about it, but in a couple of years when I start thinking about retirement, I think it would be good to bring somebody on in that position so that they could maybe spend a year with me learning the ropes before I retire. And I think that's why we're kind of leaving it here. I think we would like to do this. I kind of came in without a lot of mentoring, and I don't want that for I need that's to have a good succession plan, and I believe that will hiring an assistant authority manager within a period of time before I retire is good succession planning.
That's why that position was added to the budget in the first place. It just never worked out. It just never happened that way. But
so we're looking also as a ground maintenance person too down the road?
No, it's just still on there at the moment because we used to have one. And it's still an open position, technically, that we could.
Could we put the high school student, whatever, into that position there?
We sure could, yes.
Sound, instead of an operator in training, because aren't you not going to let them use power equipment and stuff like that as far as liability is?
They can use power equipment, they just cannot drive our vehicles.
Yeah. If we hired somebody under the age of 16, they couldn't even use power equipment. I think we can refine how we're calling this and where we're labeling it in future budgets.
That's what you're going to work on this week.
I'm going back to revenues. I like revenues.
Oh, I do too.
Me too. There you go.
Money. And I see that we do real well this year, as in terms of interest, is that because of the money that we carried over from
year to year?
Year to year?
A little bit, but it's also because the interest rate keeps going up. Uh-huh. It's not good for your mortgage, but it's good for us.
Yeah.
Okay, because I see that next year.
There's going to be a pony in there somewhere.
suggested to be half of where we are right now.
Well, pretty well much, don't we carry over $3 million? I had talked to you about this before.
Across all the funds, yes. Yeah. Ish. But, this fund, if you look at the working capital, we started out with 176 at the beginning of the fiscal year. We're down to 124, and it's probably even less than that right now. We've had to dip into that fund. Or that part of the fund.
Yeah, because of the rising costs and everything else changing.
In the medical insurance, this is kind of the same thing. More people want more insurance.
Right, that's true.
How are the rates now for that? Have they gone up?
They're only going up 3%.
Oh, is that right?
Really?
Yes, which is great because 2 years ago it went up 18%.
We must be a good risk.
Yes. Yeah, none of us are getting hurt.
That's great.
And our workers' comp, how are we with that? How many worker comp cases did we have?
In the last year?
I don't think we had any, did we?
I
No, we didn't have any.
I don't think we have any in the last year.
Was it the last one, Jeb?
Yeah, I want to say that was 2 years ago.
Yeah, we didn't have any injuries at all this year.
Uh-huh. And that's good for our insurance because it helps.
Yeah. I think the year before we had a minor one.
Just one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's really good.
I would like to compliment John on his safety protocols. This is a good place to bring it up. He has safety meetings all the time. And I think he's doing a really good job on the safety aspect of operating this operation.
Well, thank you, Tom. Between you and Ann, I'm going to have to take you guys out for dinner. No, very kind words from both of you. Thank you.
I drink Canadian Mist.
OBB.
Just out of curiosity, what are our legal fees last year? What kind of thing did we...
Well, we had a variety of them. We needed some significant consulting on the water rights side.
Well, right now we're on sewer.
Oh, on the sewer.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm
trying to think. What did we...
Sewer operating.
What did we split up? Oh. Well, the executive session. I think that was it. That's all we've spent out of.
Oh, is that? Yeah.
$3,300 this year to date.
Mm-hmm. That was part of the executive session.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
I think that's what it was. Yeah, half of it.
Because it doesn't take much to talk to a
$3,000. No. Exactly.
Hello. Answer the phone.
Yes. That'll be $500. Yeah.
And they charge us by the tenth of an hour.
Yeah. Oh my God, tenth of an hour.
Not even a quarter hour. Yes.
Wow.
I generally don't call unless I have to, but when I have to, I do. But it's, you know, get a couple of questions answered, and it's a $500-$600 bill. Yeah.
But sometimes, I mean, there's a reason for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it saves you money in the long run.
That's right.
If you get that information.
If you do the wrong thing, because you didn't get the right advice,
exactly.
It can cost you
more. It's a very important consulting service for us. I mean, there's no doubt.
Yeah.
We don't have to tap into it a lot. A lot of it's just small miscellaneous types of questions. We probably have more on the water side for that.
Much more.
Because now a lot of that was water rights consulting with our legal counsel's water rights advisor or consultant.
Yeah, 18,000?
Yeah. We'll get to that in a bit.
Yeah.
So what is the bank charges, $8,000?
Those are our monthly fees. So we get charged for every check we write. We get charged for every ACH payment we go through. We get charged for every time we have direct deposit for our payroll. We get charged for everything these days.
Wow. And there's not a bank that doesn't charge all those fees?
There probably is, but they're not very local. We use Oregon Coast Bank.
Which there's advantages there, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That does seem like a lot.
If you pay by a credit card, there's a charge there, too, isn't it?
Yeah, and that comes out of that,
gosh.
Too.
Yeah. But they don't have any of your investment money, right?
No.
So if they had your
that's at LG, I think.
That's
at the government.
Yeah.
You know, it would be worth shopping around. It would. You know, having it be the only bank in Pacific City is very handy for
their charges aren't nearly as much as our credit card charges.
Yeah.
For every payment that we have to take by credit card, it costs us
significantly. Oh, yeah. Is that in his bank charges, too?
Yeah, it gets left in there, too.
Well, yeah, exactly.
See, that's what you're
and we can't shop around on that because they're the only ones that work with our software company.
Yeah. Well, I think it's important to keep your money locally. Mm. I mean, I think it's good for the community to be able to do that. So I don't have any problem with being at Oregon Coast Bank. I don't know if you could go down and talk to them and maybe negotiate some better rates, because I know sometimes they will do that.
Yeah. It's worth a try.
Well, especially if you're keeping a balance in there. You know, because you're not getting interest on that checking account balance, I'm pretty sure.
No.
So
Well, I mean, because it's a good sum of money. I mean, it's not all your investment, but it's quite a bit of money.
There's also a lot of activity,
that
though.
You're in and out of it.
You're constantly in and out of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that costs the bank money.
Yeah.
To run that activity.
Okay,
so,
that's true.
What about contingencies?
A conversation never hurts.
Contingencies?
Uh-oh. Well, we've never actually dipped into it.
Yeah.
So I don't know what we're
good work.
What we would use it for yet until something catastrophic happens.
Yeah.
That's good.
But even then, we would only have 40,000 for catastrophe.
Yeah. Any other questions? Move right along. 105.
Fire hydrant water. Mm-hmm. Does the fire department pay us?
Nope. It's just construction water if a contractor asks for water.
Oh.
Street lights and stuff. I thought it was kind of interesting. One of the big conversations now is that short-term rentals. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a political thing going on at the county level and whatnot. But for people who have that, a short-term rental, they pay an additional $50 a month or something for the water. So if you've got 100 people, that's $5,000 a month. That's $60,000 a year coming into their pocket. Mm-hmm. And they're probably more than 100, right?
Yeah, we actually got 65 new ones this last fiscal year because there was a...
Because the moratorium was coming.
It was the mad rush.
It was a huge amount of changes we had to make.
Yeah. But, I mean, when you look at revenues, and that's one thing you don't think about, but that's a pretty sizable chunk of change.
Yeah.
Helps fund the miscellaneous things.
Absolutely.
Contingencies.
Absolutely.
You got to keep the street lights on.
You know, its legal fees are considerably more...
Yeah.
We've never used that customer assistance program, have we?
We have one time in the last 15 years.
Isn't that administered through CARE or something?
It is. Yeah.
So.
Wow, just because the electric company is.
There's a lot of loopholes you got to jump through. But we let CARE vet the people and then let us know, these people actually need it.
Yeah, I'm not sure we've had one of those since I worked there.
I think it was probably my first year here.
Yeah, so people aren't taking advantage.
And they might after grade school.
We've said that before and it didn't happen either. So.
And you pretty much split the costs of a manager and so on. With the exception, you get down to 1, 2, and 3, and I think there's a...
And we base that off of how much time they spent in water or wastewater the previous fiscal year.
Yeah, makes sense.
Insurance is going up?
Only about 3%.
That's interesting, isn't it?
At least that's what we're told.
At the very bottom here under transportation, what's that actually include?
Fuel filters, air filters, fuel. And with the rising cost of fuel, we've gone over already.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, that was unexpected.
Mm-hmm. Fuel's great.
Water district plans, R&M?
Water distribution and transmission repair and maintenance. That's usually where we buy, like, repair clamps and PVC and things like that come out of that fund.
You're talking about water rights too at Corn Creek, that area up there. That's something that's so important.
Oh, it is.
You just never know what so is. You got left field. And
it is. Yeah. We're working to partially perfect our part of the water allowed in our existing water rights permit, and to extend whatever we can't currently use to extend our permit. Actually, if approved, and it should be, it'll extend our permit till the year 2070. So that gives us lots of time to develop the need for those additional water rights.
Yeah. And when it comes down to volume of water, we're getting most of our water from Horn Creek and not from the wells.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we just keep those there as a safety valve.
Yeah. The wells, what the wells do for us is they give us flexibility. If we get a heavy rainfall event and the creek turns muddy, we have other options, and that's good because sometimes water systems don't. So that's where the wells really come in valuable for us.
So when you're getting hard water, you know it's coming from the wells.
That would be correct.
Oh, okay.
That would be correct. The water in the wells is harder than the water in the creek, for sure.
Yeah.
This backflow prevention expense, I see you don't spend very much. We haven't spent very much there. Is that typically something that you provide, is the backflow?
We do all the backflow testing. What comes out of here is usually recertification. And that, I think you guys only have to recertify every 2 years?
Every 2 years,
okay,
yeah.
So like this year is not a recert year.
Oh, okay.
Next year will be, though.
Okay, got it.
But I think this would also be to buy parts for our own backflow preventers if they need to be repaired, if they need to be replaced. It would come out of this fund as well.
Recalibrating the test gauges, too.
Yeah, the test kits have to be recalibrated every year.
I'm going to go back to my earlier question on the insurance.
Okay.
And that is that on the, that page.
The medical insurance.
We've already exceeded what we had adopted in insurance.
Yes.
Money.
And we don't plan to spend any more.
I was just going to ask, is it because
till the end of the year, yeah.
Paid up front?
Okay. Yeah. And part of that had to do with... we got a back trailer, and so we had to put insurance on that, and that upped it, and our property and casualty insurance went up a little bit, and so that comes out there as well.
But it's an annual payment.
Yeah, it's already paid up for the year.
All right. I just saw that thing doubling by the end of the year. Okay.
Anything else? Moving right along.
The rest of this is just details.
The end.
That one's just another one. If there is a little bit further back, there's a graph that shows you the previous year's rate and how this one will go up. But there's also a rate sheet that shows you how much is going to go up on each one.
When you're looking at a percentage of increase, you have to go back to the year. What were we charging?
Right. Right now we're charging $89.49 for residential. That'll go up to $101.71.
Yeah, but several years ago.
Several years ago, we were at $93.70.
We were at 93, so.
Yeah. It doesn't really feel
hey, listen,
like
we did
like
go down.
Here, aren't we?
Yeah. And 12.5% and 22% sounds like big, crazy, scary numbers until you look at it and we're only going up $10.
Yeah.
And it doesn't sound quite as frightening.
Yeah. Yeah. That's sure something.
Just get into the hundreds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you sure you can't do 99?
No. And that's one of the things we have here is a great water and sewer system.
Well, it's under 102.
You know.
As long as it keeps working, nobody thinks about it.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So. No, we don't need to go through that general ledger stuff, do we?
No.
Get back here to the rates. And monthly fees and whatnot.
Okay, Scott, I'm going back to your point about that $50 a month.
Yeah.
Is it anywhere here on these rates?
Oh, okay. So if you look down at under sanitary sewer, item C, where it says monthly capital improvement charge, mm-hmm. there's a difference between residential and vacation okay. rental of about $42.50.
So it's nice of those short-term rental people to check in a little extra. Mm-hmm. I know they feel good about that.
Well, we had some people, customers, that wanted to kind of flip it on and flip it off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they weren't very happy that they just had to pay it every year if they wanted to have
be in the business.
Yeah.
Flip them off.
Yeah. You can't just do what you want to. That's
right. No.
There's this last page is something new, I think, for us here. Is project list and projected costs and whatnot. That's the rest of it, so.
This is our wish list.
Yeah. Yes. Of some of which we already have in
all
the budget.
All factored into this.
Yes.
All
of
the
factors.
I think it almost all is factored into the budget.
It should be. Yeah.
That's a lot of great information.
It really is. Yeah, that.
I think that was one of the things that you wanted to see, Tom, mm-hmm. and I, you know, now, you know, it's still just listing some lump sum with.
And we make it for ourselves. So there's
no reason to not share it.
Yeah.
So the bathroom remodels and stuff.
At the office.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's just the one bathroom or the. Is there another bathroom in the back there?
No, we have two bathrooms.
Two bathrooms.
In the office.
And the one right.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's just that one.
Oh, okay.
We just don't know how much it would cost.
I know Sean had, we talked about the last board meeting, about how inadequate our meeting area. Could we coincide any of that to make that a little bit bigger? So we, because we had talked about renting community centers so much.
Oh, like expanding the conference room?
Yeah.
Oh, I think
or bringing it out, the walls out.
Yeah, I think anything's possible. We didn't budget for that this year, and in fact, it
didn't really cross our minds.
It's not really very expensive to rent this room for anything.
Overall it's not. And
$2, I think it was. 170,
270?
Yeah.
So
yeah. $200. I mean, you know. You can go many years.
Yeah, okay. To remodel a new.
For the cost of a remodel.
Right, that's true.
Well, we are limited. There's three sides we couldn't expand to. There's only one side we could expand, and that would be to the north. Yeah, I think that's north.
No, south.
Parking lot.
South. Of course, the parking lot.
South. Yeah.
Okay. Down river.
Yeah. Well, with the cost of the construction here, we'd be paying for that. You can be here off.
That's
And
you close the door and leave.
That really is true. Yeah, right.
That's the good news.
That's nice.
Yeah. Is there any other comments?
Looks like Rupel's the big one.
Rupel's the big one. Yeah. I'm wondering, the bathrooms and stuff, is that a lot for the ADA also?
Right now, they're at like base minimum ADA compliant.
Okay.
We had a survey, or USDA came in and surveyed the whole area. We had to, we bought a new mirror and we had to move it down, and we had to, there was all kinds of stuff. We had to get one of those little flip up counters if somebody were in a wheelchair. Yeah. We had to get an interpreter
system.
Yeah.
In case somebody came in and didn't speak English.
That was good to get that survey done.
It really showed us what we were lacking.
Well, there's a lot to that, all that ADA stuff.
Is there any impact that we anticipate with this Squamish Corridor project or something?
Well, not too much yet. As they move from the north side toward the south.
Yeah, they're gonna start north.
There may be some conflicts, just in terms of where they want to put the sidewalk versus where we've got our lift station or where we have pipelines buried. But with this first phase, there's really not much that impacts us.
Yeah, most of it's on private property, so we don't have any infrastructure.
And you've talked with the design firm.
Oh, yes.
That's been doing several the
times.
Engineering on that, that entire
times.
Project.
Yeah.
They've been in touch with him, and they've been in conversation, so we'll expect that will continue over the lifetime of their project, which is going to go several years.
It's going to go for a while.
Yeah, 10 years.
Yeah, they're going to have a retirement plan.
It doesn't affect that. The biggest thing I was worried about, talking at least briefly about a roundabout down. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And we have a lift station right there. And there's
right
a lot of utilities going on through there. Last I heard that they weren't pursuing the roundabout.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they eliminated that idea, I think.
So I think that that would have been potentially the biggest thing. Other than that, I just don't see it having much impact on us.
Intersection, though, something has to happen.
Well, it's going
to. They're going to do something.
Yeah. They're going to redo the intersection.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, currently, yeah. 10 years from now, who knows what they're going to do?
Yeah, 10 years ago, there was a plan for that intersection.
I know. Well, so, what worried me about that roundabout, too, is that there's so many of these huge motorhomes and stuff. They'd have to make it a huge roundabout to get those trailers around them.
There's not enough room to do that there.
Anyway. The lift stations, you got Madrona, Cindy, and Rogers. That hopefully those projects will all be done then next year.
Oh yeah, I think they will. Yeah, we're planning to ramp up on that soon. Hopefully they'll be done by the end of this calendar year. Is what I'm hoping.
Well piping, wet well piping. What is that?
Oh, we've got a couple of our lift stations. The inlet and outlet piping have come deep. Well, the grout has gone bad where they entered the concrete wet well structure, and we've got to do something about that. We're going to have to dig them up.
Is that all the lift stations?
I think there's three that we're focused on primarily.
Okay.
Three that we know that seem to be having the same issue, and it's just an age issue. I mean those wet wells and those pipe connections have been there for a long time.
So now we have Meg Hydro project.
Well, we need to find a better solution for our pH adjustment chemical at the wastewater treatment plant. Started out with magnesium oxide. We've gone to magnesium hydroxide. We're still having trouble with it. We need an engineered better solution. We need a better chemical and we need a better injection method. And that's something that we need to try to improve.
So, and then bridge project. Now, that's the fixing of
the pipelines over all the bridges.
And then also shop expansions. What's your plan on that?
Well, we're back to needing more shop space. I had kicked that down the road a year or two, but. We're just back to needing it. We've got a lot of expensive equipment
sitting outside,
and we don't want it to sit outside. We just got a new Vactor trailer that takes up a lot of room. It's very happy to have it. It's been a tremendous asset to us. But we need covered storage for these.
So do we have excess area of building?
Yeah, we've got a spot on the west side of the wastewater treatment plant, immediately right adjacent to one of our shop buildings and garage buildings that's already there. We need three more bays, and we need to find a way to do that just to make sure our valuable assets are protected.
So are down the road, are you looking to change our step system? I mean, our panels, because of the outdatedness of that. Is that down the road that this project?
Well, we're hoping to do a lot of that work this year. We have a lot of step systems. We have 125 of them, so we can't do them all at once. But they are, many of them are in need of upgrades, and we're planning to do some of those this year. We've budgeted for some of them this year. But this will be a 5-6 year project to get all of those upgrades.
And then survey and easements?
Yeah, we've got a fair amount of surveying that we have to do. We've got a number of step systems that should have easements that I can't find easements for. We've got a number of brand new step systems that went in that need easements.
Is that also kind of like the same problem we're having with the water line on Sunset with the two?
That was on private property. It has nothing to do with our easements.
Yeah. So we're good as far as on that.
We're good. It's just I don't feel as though we've got all the easements in place to give us the legal right to come onto people's property and maintain these step systems, which is what we're supposed to do. It's just come to our attention that we're, of the 125, we probably are missing 25.
Yeah.
And that's something I think needs to be addressed.
All right, then mission level indicator. What's this used for?
That is going to be a solar paneled reservoir level indicator at our 600K.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Solar, love it.
Yeah, because there's no power up there.
Right. Backup turbidity system or instrument? That's for Horn Creek?
That's for Horn Creek, yeah.
New construction ripple, that's on there. 10 sample stations?
Yes, we need some better access to our water distribution system in terms of getting representative samples throughout our distribution system. And these sample stations are the method we hope to use to do that.
Was there something that Horn Creek had new filters to do or something?
Well, there's talk about our membranes, modules. That they are now getting old, and they've gone through a lot of life and had a lot of water flow through them. The manufacturer recommends replacement of those modules about every 5 to 10 years. Ours are running so well because we maintain them so well that I think we'll get 15 years plus out of them. But eventually there'll come time that those have to be replaced. I got an estimate for replacing those just as an FYI about a year ago. It's about $125,000 to replace all 40 of those, but I don't think it's needed. And one reason it's not needed is because we clean them routinely and keep them well maintained.
So do you have to replace all of them, or can you individually? Well, they recommend all.
Yeah, they're all being used equally right now. If it's time to replace one, it's likely time to replace them all.
Right.
One other thing I didn't bring up, that loan we took out for the new pump station at the airport was a 10-year loan. And we took it out in 13. Is that about?
It is. This will be our last year.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah.
It'll be paid for.
Yeah, that's great.
So what is PRV?
Those are pressure-reducing valves. They're rather complex valves, very important valves. They maintain our pressure zones throughout our service area.
How many do we have?
We've got 7. No, we have seven, but yeah, some of them are more complex than others.
Any other questions? You did a great job. You guys put this together.
Rochelle deserves most of the credit.
She put one little test in there for all of us.
Well,
I'm so impressed you guys saw it.
We're not a bunch of rubber stampers.
That's right.
Well, thank you for that, but truly, Rochelle does the lion's share of the work related to this.
So speaking of that, you're going to need to allocate that to the expenses to go.
Yeah.
So are we supposed to approve the budget today?
Yes. So if you make a motion, you'll have to say with corrections.
With corrections.
With noted corrections to this fund.
Yeah.
And then they'll make the corrections.
Do we need an indicator of where you're going to put those expenses?
If you would like to. I think you can say just with corrections to the 005 fund as discussed.
Yes. As discussed. And then they can allocate that money to different line items or put it in one if they need it there. Yeah.
Okay.
So would anyone care to make a motion to?
I'll make a motion to approve the budget with noted changes.
I'll second it.
Move and second that we accept the budget with one change. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? We got a deal.
Thank you.
So then, I know what's
do we need
here,
an?
And we, oh, sorry. And we talked about it, but now what happens? Does it have to have a public?
We'll publish a budget hearing, and then that budget hearing will actually be right before the next business meeting in June, and then.
Right. Okay.
If somebody comes and
that would
and
be
talks,
for the public,
and right before
to have
the
another
next
shot
board
at
meeting.
It.
Yeah, okay. And then the board will. Either if anybody brings any concerns, the board will discuss it at that time, but you guys won't have to do anything
else. Is there any other business that you have to bring up this meeting?
Not at this meeting.
Okay, then show's over.
We don't need an additional meeting. That was item 7, additional meeting date if required. It sounds like we don't need one. We've got the regular schedules. We don't need this group to meet again.
No.
So we've confirmed that.
And would you like one?
I just want to make sure that we're...
You got to have a little levity here, don't we?
That's right. And I don't know about the rest of you, but I tend to collect these.